Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Broadcasting from the comfort of my U.S. studio, but we're talking to someone who is in an area that's not quite as comfortable. And his name is Rich Galen. You know him very well. He's a member of our Brain Trust. He is now, as of right now, he's our man in Iraq. He's in Baghdad. And as I said earlier, he's in the green zone, which I'm glad to know that he's there in the green zone, not the red zone. And he's our good friend. Rich Galen, welcome back.
Thank you, my friend. How are you? What do you hear from your son?
Talked to him. His wife talked to him this week. He seems to be doing okay. But as you know, he's in he's in the most dangerous part of the planet Earth in Fallujah, as you know. And would you agree with that termination?
I wrote a column about that about a month ago. When I went there to go visit some young soldiers that were doing some interesting things I wanted to check in on. And there is no doubt that is probably the most dangerous place in Iraq. And based upon what happened yesterday, it also serves the bad guy's purpose, because it makes you think that the whole effort here is going down, down the tubes quickly. Fallujah is not a terribly large town. I forget how many people there, about 35,000, whatever it is. But it is really kind of the last stronghold of the Saddam type faction, and when they do the kinds of atrocious things that they did yesterday, it makes it sound like the whole country has gone backwards. But the fact is, there's 25 million people here, and yesterday, 800 projects were finished, because we finish about 800 projects a day, everything from banks to schools to road construction to new housing, and all that went on yesterday while in Fallujah the deadly attacks were occurring. So it's really unfortunate that there's no good way to stop that. There's no good way to not report that. You can't report something.
Well,
the
thing is, though, Rich, I'm glad that you're telling us this. I'm glad that we were able to work out getting you on the show this week. I really wanted to do that because I knew from having talked to you that, off the air, that you had good news to report, some good things that were happening that the coalition is doing in Iraq. But if you watch the news, you'd never know that. If you watch the news, and I have to admit that I was somewhat influenced by this myself. If you watch the news, you would think things were turning to you-know-what in Iraq right now.
No. Yeah, that's true. No, that is correct, and that's actually been the centerpiece of my job, which tells you how bad I am at it, but to try to get underneath that. But there is an enormous amount of activity that's going on in Iraq, all of which is good. There are some, but it's still a dangerous place. There are still people that want to turn the clock back, and it's not like Somalia. People say this way. It's not like Vietnam. People say it's like Vietnam. It's not, because here, there is no alternative to what we are presenting to the Iraqi people.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they're saying, okay, we want either American-style democracy or North
American-style
communism. I mean, that's not an issue. There is no or. This is the only option that they have, and the huge proportion of people want to embrace that. And, in fact, they are embracing it. I mean, they signed this transitional administrative law, which we call the TAL, T-A-L, which is a tremendously progressive document. I mean, for any place, much less for the Middle East, guarantees absolute equal rights to women, which you don't see around here all that much, freedom of election, freedom of assembly. I mean, there was a demonstration outside the gate yesterday. We shut down a newspaper because the newspaper was fomenting, was calling for violence against U.S. forces, and so we used, and we were the occupying force, we could do this, we used our occupying powers under the Geneva Convention and the U.N. to shut the newspaper down, literally put a padlock on the thing. And there was a demonstration yesterday, and a reporter asked me about it. I said, that's they're demonstrating because we shut down the newspaper. And we shut down the newspaper because we want people to be allowed to demonstrate. That's the idea. So those are the sorts of things you get into in a place like this.
Right.
As I said off the air, I think I'm going to be out of here probably by the end of this month, and that'll be the six-month mark. And I will tell you, that is, I cannot imagine a more interesting way to spend 6 months when you're in your mid-50s or any other time of your life.
Well, especially as curious a person you as you are, and as professional as you are in what you do, I sure can see that. And in a lot of ways, I envy you. But let me ask you a question. How is the transition going from the coalition to the new structure over there, the Iraqi structure of government? How's that
well,
transition?
It's going slowly, but it's supposed to go slowly. I mean, democracy is by definition a messy way to govern. I'm sorry. Did we lose each other?
I was just going to say, you don't just open up a can of government and spread it all over everything and make it work in a couple of days.
Yeah, that way you can do that if you have a dictatorship. You can't do it if you have democracy. So you got to let everybody say. You got to let everybody have their say. There are factions here, but you know what? There are factions in the U.S. I mean, Southerners, you will know this, don't always agree with those of us who were born and raised in New York, and Westerners don't agree with Easterners, and. We have religious factions and we have geographic factions. Well, they got the same stuff here. The difference is, Jim, that there's no tradition here of give and take, which is to say, and I think I may have said this on the air once, when they were negotiating this interim constitution,
mm-hmm.
one of the guys that was in on the negotiation said, you know, we have a history here of arguing for days over a penny. And he said, at the end of it, either you have the penny or I have the penny. What we're doing here is we're trying to figure out how we can each get half the penny. And this is new to us. And he was very proud of the fact that they were getting their arms around this new way of operating, which is, you know, I can't have everything I want, you can't have everything you want. Let's make the best deal we can and move this country ahead. And that's what they're doing. And it's a slow, sometimes painful, sometimes excruciating process. But it is a process, and it's a process that the Iraqis themselves have to become comfortable with, because we want to give them their country back on June 30th, and we're going to give it back. We'll still have the soldiers here, of course. We'll still have the military to provide security. But we are very eager to make sure that the ministries are up and running, that the interior, you know, the internal structures of government are set up, and everybody's really going. I mean, we're working 23, 24 hours a day trying to get this going, and the Iraqis are right there with us.
Stand by, Rich. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask Rich how he thinks the transition will go on the 30th based on what's happening right now and how he feels about the future of Iraq. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Rich Galen. We're back at 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with a great American, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rich Galen. I'm proud to say a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he's our man in Iraq, and he's in Baghdad right now, which he considers to be a fairly safe city, right, Rich?
Yeah, it's really changed a good deal. In January, because of the 8-hour time difference here, if I do Fox, like Fox on the weekend, Tony Snow's Saturday show,
right,
at like 12:15 in the east, I have to do it at 8:15 at night here, and in January we could zip from the green zone into the Sheraton Hotel, which is in the red zone. The red zone being any place that's not the green zone, and in about 7 minutes because there was no traffic, nobody was out, people were too frightened. And a couple of weeks ago, I went over there, and we got caught in a traffic jam. People were out shopping, the stores were open, and it's interesting when shopkeepers here, because of the long history of what are called the souks or bazaars. They put everything out on the street. I mean, the sidewalks are completely covered with whatever it is they're selling, whether it's refrigerators or air conditioners or computers or satellite. Everything is out on the street so that people have to walk in the street. And if you want to park, you have to park one lane out from that. So the traffic jams are fairly dramatic. But the good news is there are traffic jams because people were out shopping. The restaurants were open. The flower shops were open. So, I mean, again, it's not like being in Indianapolis by any stretch of the imagination. but it's a lot different than it was just a couple of months ago. And, you know, it was we didn't topple that statue of Saddam until April 9th of last year. So
right.
we had a week and a half to go before we even get to the one-year mark.
You
and
know,
remember that in the last time we did this was in Japan, and MacArthur took, what, 5 years?
Yeah. You know, Rich, are you thinking of those souks over there? The best way I could describe it to people is just imagine turning a Walmart inside out. and Rich,
Imagine Rich, Walmart putting everything in the parking lot.
Right. Hey, Rich, one of the things I want to, folks, I want to let you give you an opportunity to we're going to give you something. Rich is going to give you something for free. You can go to his website and subscribe to his weekly communique to all of us, and that's at mullings.com, mullings.com. It's the same website I've been giving you since we've known Rich. But right now he's doing a communicate to whoever wants to sign up, including photographs, by the way, folks. There are pictures in there of his smiling face and others. And so at mullings.com, you can go get that once a week. It comes on a weekend, doesn't it, Rich?
It does. I try to do it on Sunday here so that it's Sunday afternoon here. So it's available generally by midday Sunday. Yeah, that's the same as your column, isn't it?
Yeah. Rich,
they can get us both updates and sit by without even moving.
What is your opinion of how things are going to go on June 30th?
Well, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, this is going to be... There are going to be rough spots, and it's going to be, you know, they're going to, and the press will make sure we all recognize when the rough spots happen. But, you know, there's an old story, the old saw about press coverage is nobody ever wrote a story that said, well, Rich Galen stopped at all the stop lights on the way to work today.
Right.
So, because that's not newsworthy. But the, as an example, the amount of opportunities that are available for small business people, apropos our listeners today, you know, the U.S. government, U.S. taxpayers are going to throw $18.6 billion at this place over the next couple of years. And a lot of that money is going to be spent with relatively small and mid-sized businesses.
That's right. 26%
are mandated. For the contractors and for the subcontractors. So I would recommend that everybody keep an eye on whatever journals and magazines and newsletters that they read and look for some of these opportunities, because that money is going to be spent. And it's going to be spent in a hurry. And so there are a lot of opportunities for people that can see them. But you know, imagine, I have a friend named Mike Fleischer, who's the head of private sector development here, and he calculated that because of the size of the economy here, if we put an equivalent amount into the American economy, because of the size of the American economy, it would be $100 billion a year just dropped into the American economy.
Right.
And what that would do
mm-hmm.
in terms of creating jobs and everything else. Of course, in the American economy, it would also be inflationary. Here, it's not, because the economy is operating at about 20% efficiency.
Rich,
I'm sorry. When we turn this thing over on June 30th, I mean, for most Iraqis and for most of the Westerners that are here, it will simply be a day on the calendar. I mean, Ambassador L. Paul Bremer, the guy who's the administrator, he's going to get on an airplane and leave, and an ambassador will come in, and the Iraqis will have sway over the day-to-day life. But for the most part, they've got sway over their day-to-day life now. I mean, we don't run their stores;
right.
They run their stores. We don't serve food in their restaurants; they serve food in their restaurants. We don't drive their cars; they drive their cars. Not very well, by the way, but that's typical for this region.
Rich, let me stop you for a second.
I got
Rich. Rich, stand by. I got 30 seconds at the most. Is the UN going to become more involved in Iraq?
Oh yes, they're here now. They've got two teams here now. One team is dealing with how the elections are going to turn out, how we're going to do the elections. The other team is working on the other governance issues. And this, I'm not, as you know, not a great fan of the UN, but this is what they do well, and we're thrilled to have them here.
Right. Rich Galen, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, a great American, Rich Galen. Don't forget mullings.com. Rich, be safe, sir. Thank you for your time and your service.
Thank you, my friend.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. We can't do without him, and we're looking forward to getting him back in the United States. He served his time over there and served it well, and we're looking forward to getting him back. 29 after, I'll be right back with Beverly Williams. Stay with us. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
I'm down to the crossroads.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.